There are things that make us who we are. Sometimes it's a matter of where we came from. Sometimes it's a matter of what we believe. Sometimes it's a matter of actually just habits that we have. Those things shape us, shape our lives, things we choose to do. Today I want to talk a little bit about one of the values that makes us who we are as individuals and as the people of God, and how important that is. Let me just lay it out for you. Oddly enough, it's actually creeped into my classroom at Savannah State. This idea of how dangerous it is to be a consumer. To be a person who simply takes in things at face value, is never critical, never analytical. You just accept what somebody gives to you, essentially because you didn't have to pay for it. You didn't have to do anything to get it. But all you do is you choose to just receive, receive, receive. You consume, you consume, you consume. That actually what you find is that's a very dangerous place to be in, being a consumer. Because what you consume may not, number one, be good for you. Number two, what you consume may actually lie to you and not be the truth. And if you're not analytical and you are not thoughtful and you do not run it through some kind of critical thinking, you receive something and you begin to act and maybe even live something that misleads you, that deceives you, and you end up far from where you want to be. And as a believer, someone who believes in Jesus Christ, we cannot be consumers. We have to have some sense of ownership in who God has made us to be. When He has given us to one another, He's made His people, the body, the church, something that's a gift to us, we have to be very, very careful that we understand that and that we express ownership as opposed to being consumers. Because even in the walls and in the buildings that we go to where we are going to worship, it is possible that we can come, act like we're at the Western Sizzlin where we went on Wednesday, on Friday night actually, and we can get our Dunlop disease and we can lay it over the buffet. And we can just go, yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that. And I like that. And I'll just take it all. The problem is we don't do anything with it. Or we aren't critical about what we pick. We end up Dunlopping a little bit more. And spiritually, that's just not who God's created us to be. He's not created us to be consumers. He's created us to be people who are alive and proactive and take initiative to see the kingdom of God grow and be a part of that kingdom. So I want to talk to you about this value. This value is basically that we are, ownership is as ownership does, folks. You live like you have skin in the game, you've got skin in the game. You don't live like you've got skin in the game. Well, there's only one person you're fooling. It's not God. It's not other people. So I want to show you a little video. We'll start there. It's a little history lesson. And then we'll jump in. What I want to talk to you about today is something that is very common. It's common in the Bible. It's common in our culture. Let me tell you where it is in the Bible, first of all. Back in the Old Testament, when God told Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, how long were they in the desert? 40 years. Do you remember what they said while they were in the desert? Over and over and over again. Let's go back. It was so good there. We had pots of meat. We had stuff to eat. They took such good care of us. Let's go back. in Christ Jesus, you can't go back. You come to Christ, you burn the ship. There is no other option. There is nobody else's way of doing things. It's not my way, and it's not your way. It's God's way. And you and I have to know what it means to buy in. He wants us to know what it means to buy in. He said to people following all the time, you've got to know what it costs. Whenever you make this choice, it's a serious choice. It has a cost. Ownership is as ownership does. People know if you've bought in, or they know if you're treating it like a buffet, because there's always a better buffet. I'll go to the new one that opened up over there because it's got more stuff. It's better. But that's not ownership is as ownership does. That's acting like a consumer. That's not who we're supposed to be. I want to look at three passages in the New Testament today. Two of them, we're going to look at what Jesus said. One of them, we're going to look and see what another writer in the New Testament said. And we're going to learn some things about what it means when we say ownership is as ownership does. And we talk about not being a consumer. First passage is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 26 through 29. Here it says, Peter answered him, talking to Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. And that's an exclamation point, folks. He was rather enthusiastic or rather energetic when he said that. What will then there be for us? And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth that the renewal of all things when the Son of Man sits on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. And everyone, and that means us if we're in Christ Jesus, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for My sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. So what does that say to you and me about ownership is as ownership does? Well, the first thing that I see there that we need to hear is this. Jesus dealt with the first thing all the time. Looking religious isn't ownership. Appearing to be holier than thou, appearing to be better than somebody else, appearing to have it all right all the time for other people to see, that's not it. That's not ownership. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't really care much what other people thought of Him or how they saw Him, other than He was just going to do what God told Him to do. The Father said, do this, that's what He did. But looking religious, that's not in His playbook. In fact, He quite frequently confronted those scribes and Pharisees who constantly liked to do the things that looked religious. But it was mainly because there was nothing behind the looking. It was all facade. That's not ownership, folks. You've known them, I've known them, the people who have sat in churches for 30 years who all they wanted to do was make decisions for somebody else. Ownership is as ownership does. You serve other people, you die in their place, you sacrifice, that's ownership. Making decisions on a committee ain't ownership. Being a pastor and making decisions is not ownership. Because, see, it works all these ways. Second point, being religious isn't ownership. Not only did Jesus quite often confront acting religious, He also confronted those who wanted to be religious. It doesn't matter how many times we do a certain ritual or action, it doesn't make us any more okay with God. That's not the criteria for what makes us who we are. It's a matter of really being in Christ. Really being a part of the body. Really loving people. Really forgiving people when they hurt us. Really doing the hard stuff. That's ownership. In a family. Families aren't perfect. Mine's not. I'd be willing to say yours isn't either. He might have a good run going. But being religious is not the same thing as owning, being all in. Which leads me to the next thing. And that is discipleship demands total personal commitment. Now, if you don't like what I'm saying, then you have more of a problem with Jesus than you do me. Because he said you got to take up your cross every single day and follow me. Which means a little bit of us has to somehow learn how to be more like Jesus and die to ourselves every day. That's the call. Which means the chip got burned. There is no bridge. There is no going back. It's not me choosing anymore. Ownership is as ownership does. You don't act like you own it if you can walk away from it. And yet treat it like it's not worth anything. Are you true? Okay, forgive me. Okay, I am not trying to make any statements about anybody. Nor group of people or anything, but I'm just trying to make an illustration. Okay, if you own the house versus if you rent something that somebody owns and you never see them, which do you take better care of? Generally, you got skin in the game. It's your own stuff, right? You can walk away from this place. You can trash it all you want. You can leave and you don't care. That's not ownership. Ownership is when you know it's yours and you've got to take care of it. Because you've got investment here. Discipleship, it demands total personal commitment. Total. We keep acting like it's partial, but it's total. Ownership, not rentership. Third, Jesus expects people to be all in. He never said, come follow me some of the time. Come follow me till you don't want to follow me anymore. He didn't say, do what I say, but when you don't like what I say, go do what you say. Or ignore what I say and do it your way. That's not ownership. That's not all in. It's not personal commitment. Next thing. The truth that we find when Jesus says this to his disciples is that there is a return on the investment, the personal investment we make when we decide to be all in. There is something that we do experience now, but there's something much greater that we get to experience in the not yet that we cannot see and we do not understand. God will do something with our commitment that we cannot comprehend. And it may be long beyond the years that we live. It's called faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what he says Abraham did when he went and he did what God told him to do, go to a place where he's never been before to go make his life. And that's what we have to do as well. We have to burn the ship, get ownership, and take initiative. Not sit around and consume expecting somebody else to feed us like a big baby with a spoon in our mouth. It's us. It's you and me. Every single one of us. If it's not hitting on all cylinders, it doesn't function the way God meant it to function. You ready for passage 2? Second passage. This is from Mark's gospel. Jesus again says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. And they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put in everything, all she had to live on. All of it. So what do we learn here? Well, first thing we see, pretty clear. John? Simply, your economic level doesn't matter. Jesus expects you and I to demonstrate ownership through personal sacrificial investment, period. It doesn't matter if you have nothing. It doesn't matter if you have more money than anybody else here. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care. What he cares about is what we do with what we are given. Are we sacrificially giving? He used this little old lady as an example. He wouldn't pick me, but he would pick that little old lady. Second thing, investing in relationships and sharing your life. Sometimes we like to just focus on all that material stuff. We are quite a material culture. And instead of just focusing on the material stuff, we need to realize that we are stewards. We are those who manage all the stuff God gave us. And then one of the things they gave us is time and relationships. And that we can manage those relationships and that time that we have in a way that honors Him and invests into His kingdom and into the people that He puts into our lives. And that He expects us to live like we have ownership in there. Instead of just expecting people to come take care of us, we're supposed to take initiative and go love other people. And go invest in them. Go listen to them. Go befriend them. Far too often we sit back and we go, well, nobody at church cares if I'm there. I just won't go. Or, I don't like church. Everybody sits around and it's quiet and I have to listen to those people talk. Okay. What's the problem with that? It's not about you. It's not about me. I'm not here because I always like the music or I think that the air conditioning is always or heating is always right or because it's clean or not or because the lights work or not or because we did music perfectly today or not. It's because I have something of myself to offer to my God. And one thing that goes along with that is He's given us to one another to be each other's brothers and sisters and family, and it's His body, it's His family. We're supposed to be here for Him, not for us. Our culture has twisted that all over the place to where we think we have to be entertained. Why do we have to be entertained? Now, I promised you, I don't want to go to a funeral when I go to church either. Okay, I've had enough funeral church. Okay, we have a lot to celebrate. Jesus Christ is alive. He came out of the grave and He is at the right hand of the Father right now. And He's interceding for you and me. And He's given us quite a mission to be a part of. That's exciting. Let's go take the hill. But it's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about us. It's about Him. But we're way too latched on to the stuff, folks. Way too addicted to the entertainment culture. How many people do you know in the church? How long have you been here? If you've been here since it started, you ought to know everybody. If you've been here about half the time, you ought to know about at least half everybody. You've been here 2 weeks, we'll give you a break. But you got a lot of learning to get done, okay? It is important that we act like we are owners and that we care about people instead of just coming expecting everybody to take care of me or do it my way. The next one is the one that nobody wants anybody to talk about. Investing financially in the mission of the kingdom that God has called you to be a part of. Yes, it's part of the deal. But the good news is, it doesn't matter how much you got. It's a matter of, is it all God's? And if you're going to handle it like it's all God's, then you do what God tells you to do with it. I don't have to tell you. Let Him tell you. Next one. Investing your time, energy, and prayer. It's pretty clear that all of us are called to be interceding for other people. It's part of the body. It's part of what we do. So how do you handle those requests? I got convicted once. It was back whenever I was a single dude in Atlanta. You can tell, dude, that tells you how old I am. I was coaching and teaching in Atlanta, and I had this buddy that I had met who I respected a lot, and it doesn't matter who he was. But after a Bible study, I just said, you know, this is what I think God's leading me to do. And would you pray with me about that? He said, yeah, sure. Let's pray. And it was like the light went on. And he wasn't going to go walk home and say, yeah, I'll pray and then forget about doing it. He was going to pray with me now. And I still struggle with that some. Not because I don't want to do it. I just, y'all need to force me to do that. And you need to force yourself to do that. Because in investing our time and our energy and our prayer matters. It demonstrates ownership in God's kingdom and in who He's given us to be for one another. And then for other people, you want to surprise somebody when you go out to eat and you do your prayer before you eat. Ask the one serving you if there's something that you can pray with them about. It'll make a difference. Some of them go, oh, no. But I've never had that happen. I've always had somebody say, yeah, you know, one gal one time, she needed a car. Said, I need, and I said, sure, got it. I can't remember. Dave Baldwin. You remember that day? The guy, I mean, out of nowhere said, oh, yeah, man. He was just free. And we got a chance to pray with him. No, he didn't stand there with us, but we prayed with him, even though he wasn't physically right there. He responded. Ownership is, as ownership does, if you're in the kingdom, you are an owner-operator. You got your own truck, folks. Third passage. Now a man named Ananias, and this comes from Acts, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied to God, not lied to men, but to God. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and they carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? She said, yes, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out also. And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. If that happened a few times around the United States of America, do you think we'd behave differently? I have a few lessons here. First of all, the truth is, God knows if someone means business about being a part of His kingdom. We can't fool him. He knows whether we are an owner, investor, we're bought in, or whether we just playing a game. He knows. God doesn't have a problem with honesty. He doesn't have a problem with transparency. It's the other stuff that He does not have any tolerance for. It's the facade. It's the actors. The hypocrite. That's what that means. Y'all know that, right? Okay. The first actor in Greece was called a hypocrite. He stood out from the chorus and began to speak and behave like a character. He was called the hypocrite. the actor. God knows our hearts. He knows if we are actually bought into the kingdom or if we're just treating it like, we rent this place, we can leave when we want. Next. As a good father, God either disciplines the individual or He will discipline the church that fails to hold the individual accountable. You can read in Hebrews, it says that He's our Father, that He disciplines those that He loves. God loves us enough sometimes to let us deal with the consequences of our choices and to say no more. And He does it because He loves us. He wants us to see that if we keep going down that path, that it will lead to destruction. There are things He lets us endure at times that we have chosen, if we're honest. You know, we complain and we gripe. How could God do this to me? How could He let this happen? And there's times where we have to, if we're honest, we have to look at it and say, we made that choice. And He loves us enough to discipline us so that we get the idea that He wants us to really be bought in. He wants all of us. Not just part-time obedience, not just part-time love, but the whole thing. All of you and me. Third thing. Even shepherds and teachers are held to a stricter standard. Ownership is as ownership does. Fourth, there are consequences for duplicity and feigning ownership. I don't know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira once they died. And too many times we kind of forget that just because somebody dies doesn't mean that they went to hell or that they were removed from God's presence. They may very well have really known God and they sinned and God allowed them to die in order to prove a point. That doesn't mean that they were not in heaven. I'm sorry, I can't theologically say I know where they are. I'll leave that to God one way or the other. But there are consequences for acting one way and really being another. To act like you own and then to live like you don't. It's important that what we say is who we are and that we realize we do need to be all in. Have I made any points today? You know, one of the things that I constantly tell you, one way God's worked in me is there's been times where I've been in a room like this, sometimes more, and the guy is up there talking and I don't hear a word that the guy says. I might hear one thing and then God starts to wear me out about something else. Or something that goes on. I just let God do that. So if God has spoken to you today and brought something to your mind, something that you need to hear from Him, pay attention to that. Please. Use any word that I've said, great. But the issue is not that I've been eloquent. It's not that the music's been perfect. It's that you met with God today and you heard from Him and you know what to do next. In just a minute, I'm going to pray. We're going to end up with the music team up here. And Dane's going to be on one side of the room and I'm going to be on the other. For those of you who are new to us, this is not a weird time or anything. It's just if you need somebody to pray with you, wants Dane or I to pray with you or one of the life group leaders to pray with you about something that kind of takes place quietly as we finish. This is an open time. It's obviously free for you to pray where you are to make a decision, to make a commitment to let God speak to you a little bit further about what He's been dealing with you about this morning. The important thing is that you respond to God. not that you answer anybody's question, not that you pray any particular kind of prayer, but that you let God speak to you and you say yes. Now, if you have something you want to share with us and you want to put on the back of that card, feel free to do that. And about after the first time we sing through whatever we sing through and we're praying, there's going to be a time where if you want to get up, there's a basket in the back you can pass on the way out. There's baskets up here. That's how we put prayer requests and tithes and stuff. It goes in the basket. And we try not to draw too much attention to it, but that's how we do it. It's an offering. It's an offering of ourselves, so we don't pass a basket or whatever. But as I pray, you let God begin to do something in you, to speak to you about ownership. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. Lord, I ask that we would just be receptive to you, that we would be humble before you, that, Lord, we wouldn't listen to any distraction, that we would understand this is not a time for dogs and ponies. This is not a time for manipulation. It's just a time for being real. And, Lord, the truth is there are going to be people who are available up here to share the journey, and that, Lord, we get a chance to be transparent before you right now. Lord, move in our hearts. Solidify what you've been speaking to us. If we have a need, Lord, I pray that you will move us so that we don't sit here and be miserable, but that we might let you come and that we would find healing and help in those who share our lives with us in this body you've given to us. Thank you for all of us who are here today, and Lord, for many who are traveling or who are not here this morning. Be with them. Bless them today, Lord. As God moves you in this time, you come. As we close this morning, I encourage you to listen throughout the week, that you would let God speak to you about a next step. What do you need to do to express that you have ownership in the kingdom of God, that you're a part of what He's doing, that you are in, and that you understand that it's not about just migrating from place to place, that it's about putting your tent pegs down and beginning to live somewhere and share life with people. That's very important. All right? Let's everybody stand. And let me share a blessing as we go. Father, we again ask for your direction, your protection. Lord, we have been blessed greatly. And Lord, as we go out this door, we go out to be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece in the world. Lord, I pray that you would speak through us, that, Lord, the actions that we do would be empowered by your very Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, the waves from what happens when we go out this door would echo and change Savannah and much farther. Lord, we never know whose life we're touching. Let us walk in faith and act in faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.